Questions and Answers on the Bible. Appendix E. Moses and Elijah. Among the difficulties which face those who are journeying from the wilderness of pagan falsehood, concerning the immortality of the soul and consciousness in death, with its innumerable quagmires, is the account given in the Gospels of the Transfiguration of Christ. We give the story as told by Luke. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spoke of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spoke, there came a cloud, and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. A few facts will make plain this interesting scripture. 1. It was given as encouragement to the disciples. At the baptism of Jesus, God had acknowledged him as his Son. But as time passed on, as Jesus did not meet the disciples' wrong idea of the messianic kingdom, it was necessary to teach them what the nature of that eternal kingdom should be. Therefore Jesus declared, I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God. Matthew says, Till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Mark, Till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. 2. Now when Christ comes, his reign in glory and power will begin. 4. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. 3. There will be two classes among his subjects who will share with him that glory. A. There will be those who sleep, who will at that time be raised from the dead, and B. Those who are translated without seeing death. 4. To show his disciples that coming and kingdom in its glory, there must be manifest a glorified king, and the two classes of heirs upon whom Christ's power will be manifest at his coming. Did he reveal this? 5. He did. Christ was the glorified king, clad in regal robes of shining white, with glorified countenance. The saints who will be raised from the dead at his coming were represented by Moses, who had died, but who, raised from the dead, appeared in glory. Michael is the name of our blessed Lord as archangel, or chief of all the angels. It means, who is like God? The devil claims the dead as his lawful captives. Christ, or Michael your prince, is the prince of life, by whose voice and power the dead are raised. When, therefore, the controversy arose between Michael and the devil over the body of Moses, we may be sure that the prince of life was the victor, and Moses was raised from the dead, the representative of all the righteous dead who sleep in Jesus. Elijah, who was translated without seeing death, was there, representing the living saints, who will be changed to immortality when Jesus comes. 6. Thus Christ showed some of his disciples his coming glory, to encourage them in the dark hours through which they were soon to pass. And if they had not suffered themselves to sleep, they would have heard, from the conversation of Moses and Elijah with Jesus, that the Master was to die, and would not have been surprised when death came. God permitted them to hear that conversation concerning Christ's death, and he gave them a glimpse of the triumphant glory beyond. 7. It was thus that Peter understood it when he became enlightened. He says, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. The Mount of Transfiguration was God's assurance of the hope beyond the tomb. Studying this story in the light of the Word, we clearly see that it lends no support to the doctrine of an immortal soul, or a conscious state of the dead. Rather, It shows the necessity of the resurrection and Christ's second coming, at which time only the hope of his children of all ages will be consummated.